The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Well, no doubting the biggest radio story of this week, not a sacking or a new launch, but a plot line in one of the UK's longest running programmes, The Archers. We've got a report from this year's SRA conference, news of a station name change in the Northwest, news and radio moments as usual. But first, drama on BBC Radio 4 in Ambridge.
I want to know how you can leave.
Rob.
You see this knife? Take it. Come on, put it in your hand. Do what Greg did. End it all now. Go on, I dare you. Because you're nothing without me, Helen. Nothing.
Why are you doing this?
No one will even be that surprised. So go on. It's your choice. But it's the only way I am ever letting you go.
You're a monster!
Out! Back upstairs!
Why is Mummy upstairs?
Henry! I'm warning you, do as you're told this second or I'll...
No!
Right, come here, you little...
No! Get your hands off him! Don't touch him! Sorry.
Helen.
Sorry.
Put the knife down. Helen!
Louisa Patekas and Timothy Watson as Helen and Rob Titchener in the climax to last Sunday's edition of The Archers. Since this storyline has been running, more than £100,000 has been raised for domestic abuse charities, and Rob and Helen have taken the everyday story of country folk onto the front pages and the TV news bulletins. To try and understand why, I've been talking to The Guardian's radio previewer and big Archers fan, David Hepworth.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So, Dave, what does it tell us about radio drama as a whole, as a genre, that this storyline has so captured the rest of the media world?
I suppose what I've found interesting about it, as a regular listener to The Archers through thick and thin, is the way that people, both regular listeners and occasional listeners, found the Rob and Helen plot disturbing in a way that they never seemed to find television drama disturbing. They could find it, you know, moving and so forth, and they like being put through the ringer. Whereas there's something about the kind of confidential nature of, you know, a radio soap that's coming into your house every day that makes people feel uncomfortable very easily if a situation gets a little bit too real. And I've always felt that The Archers did tragedy really, really well. You know, whether it's something, you know, some case of malevolence like this one, this case, or the case of, I don't know if you remember, Jack Woolley, the late Jack Woolley, you know, slipping into Alzheimer's and dementia or whatever, was done very, you know, very gently. And you felt this building up over a period of time with Rob. You know, that you were welcoming him into your kitchen where you were doing the washing up, or if you were listening in the evening or whatever. And this noose was being tightened really delicately, really, really slowly over a long, long period of time. And I think one of the things that's very often overlooked with all this is just what a fantastic performance it is by the guy who plays Rob. You know, because he hasn't got a whole lot to go on. You know, he's just going to do this gently.
One of the things that interests me, Dave, is that just before we talk about your view as a professional critic and previewer, is you love The Archers. You know, I've known you for 40 years or something, and you've always listened to The Archers. You love it, and yet for many of us, we've thought, oh, actually, that's a really dull thing. You know, what is it about The Archers that's captured people for that length of time?
Well, I suppose, I don't know. I've always had the feeling that a kind of a sane, well-balanced individual can only sustain one soap opera. You know, people who do more than one are, to my mind, you know, there are more important things they ought to be doing. And The Archers has always been the one for me, and I suppose I relate to that kind of dream of rural England, I suppose. You know, there is a part of me that likes to go to the country, you know, and...
Because this is it, you know, you're a bloke from Wakefield who lives in London. What is it about Ambridge?
Well, I suppose, you know, I like the idea of Ambridge. I've got a kind of a visual image of it in my head, you know. I don't want to go to Albert Square, thank you very much. I've no interest whatsoever. You know, the only other soap in my life that I've ever been attached to is many years ago, and it is in the 60s and 70s, was Coronation Street, when Coronation Street was kind of full of salt of the earth ladies of a certain age wearing head squares, you know, and I quite liked that, you know, whereas now I look at it and think, no, wild horses wouldn't drag me to the world of Weatherfield. Is it still Weatherfield? I think it is.
I have no idea. You know, here's the thing, though, Ambridge, Dan.
Ambridge is my spiritual home.
You're suspending disbelief in the way that we're meant to with radio drama. Am I right in thinking that over the past few years, radio drama as a whole, not just with the Archers, has actually got better? You know, I sort of feel that I used to be able to hear the script rustling. You know, the actors had rehearsed for fully, you know, 5 minutes. And now I'm hearing increasingly some really good performances. And as you say, you know, the people who are playing Helen and Rob, these are great performances, aren't they?
They are really good. And I think, don't they say that this is one of the things that they started recruiting better young actors, didn't they, as a policy, I think, a few years ago, because they used to just tolerate whoever they could get near Pebble Mill. And I think they now cast their net a bit wider. And it could be that actors nowadays take it more seriously as a, you know, as a kind of career route. You know, it's respectable. Nobody laughs at actors for being in the Archers at all, you know. And I think I think you're right. I think the quality of scripts and things is better. I was a judge in the BBC Radio Drama Awards not just recently, but the year before. And you know, I was very struck by the quality of stuff. I only wish I could call to mind the names of the people involved. But you know, it's an art, you know. I went to a little presentation recently given by David Suchet, who was doing a Radio 3 drama. He said, really good advice for this. He said he was taught radio drama at drama school. And the first thing they were taught was sit on your hands. Don't move your hands at all. It's all got to come through your voice, you know. I'm sure there are many, many similar tips, you know.
So is there something about radio drama being in your head, you know, particularly in the podcast and download era, where a lot of people are catching up on the Archers because it's in their earbuds? Is there something about the intimacy, do you think, of radio?
Undoubtedly. I mean, it got to the stage recently with Rob and Helen, you know, the most recent harrowing episodes. Even my wife and I, who normally listen together, went to separate rooms. You know, and then we reconvened in the kitchen. And as I was coming down the stairs, I would be going, well, you know what I mean? And then you got social media as well, you know. So I have Archer's mates, you know, who text and tweet and whatever about something that's happened, you know. And I've even had a conversation with somebody the other day who said, you know, talking about a family member, said, I'm a little bit worried that there might be a Rob and Helen situation there. And, you know, that it's given a name to something that previously didn't have a name, it seems to me.
Well, before we let real life interpose in this drama, here's the thing about radio. You spend a lot of time listening to radio so that you can preview it in The Guardian. Where is radio, in your view, going in terms of this kind of intimacy? It does seem to me that the podcast thing says people want to have an immersive experience. I'm sorry, that's such a buzzword. And they don't want to just have something on in the background as much as perhaps radio in the past 20, 30 years has sought to, you know, fulfil that demand.
Well, I have no simple answer to that, you know, that it's a, you know, that radio stations, it seems to me, you know, run on the principle of do anything to stop people turning off. Whereas, you know, if you do a podcast, and I've done podcasts myself, I don't give a hoot about that, you know, because the people who've come to the podcast, they've come of their own free will. That's what they wanted. They've pulled it towards them. So they give it a lot of slack. And I think you do them a grave disservice if you try and make it too easy for them. Because I think if you want easy listening, it's absolutely all over the place. If you want stuff that's non-immersive, it's absolutely everywhere. And so I think culturally, I don't know if radio people are quite as good at this stuff as they think they are.
Do you think that radio people perhaps should be, should they think more about the effect it's having on the consumer who's pulled it towards them than having what James Cridland calls that transmitter mindset?
Well, it's you know, if you're doing a radio interview or whatever, you know, you're very aware, and I'm very experienced at doing these things, you know, being interviewed or interviewing occasionally, whatever. You can see the look of nervousness in the presenter's eyes. You know, they're looking at the clock. They're thinking about what's next. You know, they're not completely there. You know what I mean? Whereas if you do a podcast, you know, that's different. You're completely there. Take your time, you know. But the challenge is that, you know, the onus is on you to make that time as worth people's while as you possibly can. And that brings its own challenges.
Just want to pick up on one other thing before we leave the Archers. There are people who say that, of course, it's on the BBC, therefore it has an obligation to have a, you know, a heart and a, you know, a social role, and that they're only really doing this plot line about coercive behaviour domestically because they feel they should, in the same way that, you know, perhaps 40 years ago they used to talk about how it's important to join the common market. do you think they've pulled that off, that it's actually been real rather than just, you know, a campaign?
I think it has been very real because it's, again, it's developed so slowly. And I can't believe that when they started, they knew this was going to, how it was going to turn out, you know. Personally, I can do without the public service messages at the end saying, if you've been affected, you know, by the issues in this program, here's a helpline or whatever. You know, you think, where are they going to stop doing this? King Lear, you know what I mean? you know, it's drama, for goodness sake. And, you know, I think it does it no favour sometimes, dragging it into the as far over the line as it does. But no, I don't know. I have no idea how The Archers is written. You know, I have no idea at all. I'd love to know. I'd love to know whether they know where it's going when they start going somewhere, or whether they just have a rough idea and then they see how it goes. Because they do it over such a long, long period of time. And that's the beauty of it. But it doesn't have to know where it's going.
Well, my public service announcement is that you've been listening to David Hepworth, who is currently doing a lot of radio interviews, plugging his book. So I want to ask you not to plug your book, though I know you will, but I want to ask you about being interviewed on the radio about plugging your book. You did Radcliffe and McConey. You've done lots of other interviews. You're still in the midst of, you know, those radio days, as they're called. How is it? You know, I mean, 1971, it's a great book, and da-di-da, let's just take that for read. But, you know, what it's like being an interviewee?
Well, I've been very fortunate so far, extremely fortunate. I did Stuart McCandy and Mark Radcliffe this afternoon. Could not have been nicer. Could not have been more fun. Time absolutely flew by. You know, you've got two guys there. Well, two guys helps, you know what I mean? So there's no kind of silence at any point, but they absolutely know the subject. They don't ask any stupid questions, you know, to be controversial at any point. And, you know, I've done all kinds of different ones, and I shall continue to do all kinds of different ones. And, you know, you have to know at the outset what it is that they're planning to do. Are they going to run any music in it? Or there was one program where I was supposed to be, are we going to have you up against somebody else who thinks another year is better?
And, oh, brilliant, yeah. Because we're adversarial, because that's what we do, because we're journalists.
You know, yeah. So thank goodness. You know, because I don't want to go on the radio and go, well, your choices, matey, are rubbish because mine are great, you know.
David Hepworth from The Guardian and lots of other things. Thank you very much for talking to the Radio Today programme.
Thank you.
And if you want to delve into David's splendid new book, it's called 1971, Never a Dull Moment. The subtitle is Rock's Golden Year, and there's a Spotify playlist, a Tumblr site. It's a truly immersive experience. This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. Still to come, a report from the Student Radio Conference, and we'll find out more about why the bee has buzzed off. First, though, here's Stuart Clarkson with this week's news.
Thank you, Trevor. Big week of rebrands. Media Sound Holdings is changing its four Sussex radio stations, Arrow, Bright, Sovereign and Splash, to More Radio. And in Lancashire, 2BR will take over the Blackburn, Preston and Chorley frequencies of The Bee as part of changes that see the station go on DAB across the whole county. Staying at UKRD, Eagle Oldies on DAB has launched this week as a sister service to Guildford station Eagle Radio in Surrey and Hampshire. There's another new DAB station for West Lancashire as Sandgrounder Radio from Southport goes live on the multiplex that covers Wrexham, Chester and Liverpool. Andy Hilbert and Neil Newton are the people behind it. Presenters include the former Radio Merseyside managing editor Mick Ord and seasoned North West jock Rob Charles. Martin Kellner is going back on air just weeks after leaving BBC Radio Leeds, as you may have heard on a recent edition of this podcast. He signed up for a couple of Thursday evening shows this month and next on DAB station Radio Yorkshire. Tributes have been paid this week to Carolyn Munro, known as CJ. She was MD at Radio Victory for a while and also worked at Devonair, 2CR, Radio 2 and more recently Palm FM, where she was co-director and breakfast presenter. Another community station is surrendering its licence. The Hub 106 in Truro in Cornwall says the station is no longer viable, so it's going to close down later this month after less than 2 years on air. And Katie Hopkins and Andrew Castle are the star names in the new LBC weekend schedule. Katie takes over Sunday mornings regularly after a few cover shifts, while Andrew moves from weekday breakfast on Smooth London to weekend breakfast on LBC. A few other presenters shuffle about in the lineup, and all that means that Ollie Mann and Petri Hoskin both leave the global station. Those are this week's top stories. You can also catch the latest headlines on the hour, every hour, on our radio station In Radio. From the radiotoday.co.uk news centre, also known as my dining room, I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Oh, thank you, Stuart. He's only gone and got himself a dining room. Who says there's no money in radio? Let's find out more now about that name change in Lancashire. Roy Martin's been speaking to Simon Brierley, MD of the UKRD stations 2BR and The Bee, which are merging to create a bigger 2BR.
Well, it's a big day for us, and it's going to be a big couple of months for us as 2BR prepares to expand onto DAB and to become a much bigger brand than it is currently.
So 2BR is the older station of the two. 2BR is replacing what is now The Bee. Tell us how you came to that decision between choosing which name to expand with.
Well, firstly, 2BR is the older name. It's not been replaced, really. It's just think of it as just a name change. The Bee will live on. Its audience will continue to enjoy what it's used to hearing, just with a different name. You know, instead of being The Bee, it'll be called 2BR on the two FM licences in Blackburn and Preston. Why was that decision made to continue with the 2BR brand? Frankly, it's the heritage brand, and the stronger part of our TSA is in East Lancashire. So by protecting and by keeping the 2BR name, we really safeguard the big part of the audience that lives, works in East Lancashire.
Full disclosure here, I was the one that came up with the Bee name, so it's a little bit close to my heart. And yours as well. The reason why the two stations have operated separately for all this time is because of the two areas being very different. Is that suddenly not appropriate? Does that rule not exist with you anymore, or is this just progress?
I'd be misleading you if I was to say this wasn't a decision that came without its conflicts internally in Brierley Head, if you like. The fact is, the industry that we're in now, in 2016, I believe we've reached a tipping point. The last two company cars we bought, every time we get a courtesy car, they've all got DAB fitted as standard. I think that move to DAB has reached critical mass for me, and I believe that these two brands, if they don't get a foothold on DAB, they simply will start to hemorrhage audience. We've got a space on DAB, which is brilliant news. We then have to decide, does it make business sense for one of our brands to be on DAB, sounding very similar in style, in playlist, in kind of localness to the other one, to compete directly in the same TSA against one another? Does that make business sense now? Whereas it made business sense when they weren't competing, when they had two distinct TSAs. Now, frankly, it doesn't, so we have to make a call. And that call is, you know what, DAB is great, 2BR becomes a station with an FM TSA of getting on for 600,000, a DAB TSA, should we choose to expand into that, which I don't think we will, of over 1 million. Can we celebrate that and create a powerful local radio brand within East and Central Lancashire and still super serve our audience with localness? Yes, we can. I'm not pretending it's has been an easy decision, Roy, because you know that I passionately believe in local radio. What I do passionately believe is it's also the right decision.
Why not rebrand them both into Star or Jack or Lancashire FM or something totally independent of them both?
I think it's just a name. You know, I think we within the industry get really precious about the heritage of a name and where the name comes from. But what does Star mean? What does Mix mean? What does Spirit mean? What does 2BR mean? Frankly, 2BR stands for Two Boroughs Radio, although most of our listeners would say Two Bloody Records. It's just a name. What is important to the listeners is that we get the mix of music right, and we know that we do that, is to make sure that we get our local content right, through an investment in additional news capacity and an investment in technology and programming staff, we're going to continue to be much more local than any of the other kind of regional services that we're up against. Frankly, what we call it is secondary. So given that, we might as well stick with the name that most people know and recognise and want to keep, which is 2BR.
Simon Brierley from 2BR on In Radio with Roy Martin. There's a longer version of that discussion available via the Radio Today site. After this, we'll join Radio Today's reporters at this year's Student Radio Conference.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Hi, this is Emma Corsham and
Louise McGovern.
And we're here reporting from Cardiff at this year's Student Radio Conference.
Whoop whoop.
It's been a very packed 3 days, and we're on the third now. We've got one more breakout session and the infamous AGM, but we've really heard from a variety of
yes, different... Yes, there's been a lot of radio over the last few days. There's been some great stuff. What was your highlight on the first day, Emma?
I really enjoyed the Being Funny for Money one with Rod Gilbert. He was chairing the debate, and we heard from a commissioner, an editor, Rod Gilbert obviously being a stand-up
comedian legend,
and presenting on BBC Wales, and producers, and a writer. It was really interesting. They were taking all sorts of different ways into the industry and things like that. How about you? What did you like?
So one of my highlights definitely comes from day two. It was Alice and Alad's chat about all things producing and presenting. It was basically that was focusing on the dynamic and how, as a producer, you need to make sure that you're getting the best out of your presenter, and that you need to realise each presenter is different and they want different levels of help, of guidance, and each presenter has a different levels of experience.
And the afternoon keynote, the future of radio, with Nick Grimshaw and Greg James and Reese Hughes, and they did a great potted history of their careers, which they went on for a while. They were quite extensive careers.
20 minutes, yeah.
They had an announcement at the end of the session, which was particularly interesting, about the Radio 1 takeover of student stations, where they're, for 12 weeks, going to give a variety of student stations, 12, a go at creating...
great news. I mean, for everyone here at Sorocon, I know that they were definitely excited to hear that. I mean, obviously, everyone's coming here with the dream of getting into radio, and what an exciting opportunity it is for them to actually have a show on Radio 1. It's an absolute treat.
One of my highlights was the Making Waves Behind Bars, which was about prison radio. And we had Bill Maguire, Andrew Wilkie and Jocelyn Stainer, who high up at Radio 1 for many years. She's been there, having worked her way through everything, and was there as an editor. She's now doing a year backed by the BBC working with prison radio, and it was really fascinating. Her route into that was she's volunteered as a community support officer in her spare time around running big chunks of Radio 1.
Yeah.
And she just found it fascinating and is learning so much about how radio really makes a difference in people's lives. And it was really fascinating. They played some clips and they talked about how it's really easy to schedule, because they number one, get very open feedback from their audience, because their audience are making the radio. They don't get texts and tweets like we do on other radio stations, obviously. But they get over 6,000 letters sent to them each year.
Oh, wow. Old school.
And they know what the schedule should be because they know the exact routine of the prisoners and when they're going to be locked up in their cells and needing to spend an hour having something to do.
Yeah.
So it was really fascinating and a particularly interesting one to look into.
Definitely. I mean, we've always got to know that there's obviously music radio out there, but there's so many other varieties. There's so much within music, there's so much radio. But as well, today we heard from Ian Collins at LBC, and that was so interesting, wasn't it? For the passion he has about all the subjects he talks about is just really, really fascinating, I think.
My stand-up moment of him was that cliche of everyone going, be yourself, and him going, well, no one in the entertainment industry, be it a comedian or an actor, is just being themselves. They're always adding some extra personality. So you can up your personality a bit. Don't be really fake and cheesy.
Yeah.
But no one on radio, if you're having a bad day for whatever reason,
don't tell them.
That's not what presenters...
Yeah, I think that's where the producer comes in, like with Alice, how Alid is always offering her support and giving her feedback and making sure she's, you know, radio ready, let's say. I think definitely the role of the producer helps make sure that you're getting the best the presenter has to offer.
We had the Radio X breakfast team. We had Dave Masterman, Pippa Taylor and Chris Bourne, who runs the station. Dave Masterman has come through all the way through Radio X and XFM. He had done work experience and got in at the ground floor and worked his way up. Pippa Taylor did the same, but through Radio 1. And it was fascinating to hear how she, right place, right time, got involved very quickly with Moyles' show on Radio 1 years ago. And then she's been producing Greg James most recently there. And jumped ship.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. It was so good to hear about all of her experience. And now that she's taken all that and she's moved over to Radio X and that they're all having a great time.
So we've got one last breakout session. We're just in our lunch break. And having heard from Dick Stone, Mike Cass, Greg Hughes and Neil Sloan doing a last minute stand-in for Chris Burns, who couldn't make it. And we've got some breakout sessions this afternoon. But that's pretty much it for the conference as far as this year has been.
What a great conference it's been.
It really has. The team have done really well as well. I think we've just got such a high calibre of speakers. Thank you very much to everyone from the SRA committee and Express Radio who've been running around like purple dragons. This is Emma Corsham and
Louise McGovern for Radio Today.
See you next year.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
David Lloyd's Radio Moment.
12 years ago this week, London's radio changed. Chris Tarrant waved goodbye to Capital Breakfast, but anyone can be Chris Tarrant, or at least Mike Osmond can.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, not you, not you as well.
It's up to you. It's 95.8 Capital FM.
It's you.
The final one. Bless you.
It's Mike.
In my
it's
life.
Mike Osmond. It's
Bobby Leavitt.
It's Mike.
How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you, sir.
Actually, I'm not the love.
Nothing like me.
Nothing like me.
I've never gone tee-hee in my life.
The final appearance from Chris Tarrant on Capital Breakfast after 17 years. Happy 67th birthday this week to another former Capital London Breakfast host.
Shake your booty. Whatever one of those is, I'll tell you what, let's have one of these. Happy horoscope. We've only got two on the list today. First one was Virgo, and finally Sagittarius. You should have time to spend with your close friends and relatives today. And it's a good time for getting new ideas and plans off the ground. Have a good day, Sagittarius. It's 14 minutes past eight. That was KC and the Sunshine Band. And this is one of our brand new Capital Climbers from the Kendalls.
Taking over from Kenny isn't the easiest thing in the world because he's a very loved creature, a sort of disc jockey, really, that's how I describe him. Had many fans, I was completely unknown, and so it was quite a job, really, to take over from somebody like that.
Happy birthday, Graham Dean, on Capital through the 70s and 80s. Radio 4's been known for its comedy over the years, and this week in 1970 saw the start of a satirical sketch programme, which was to last nearly 30 years.
Give me a year and I could make her Prime Minister.
Never.
Well, didn't I tell you public relations could make Anthony Wedgwood Ben seem human?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we all make mistakes, but I still bet you I could make her Prime Minister.
All right.
Time passed and Maggie learned quickly.
Hello, mate. How's the pigeons? You're going...
Yeah, all right, that's enough of factory visits for today. You put down the calf.
An excerpt from Radio 4's Weekending, which launched this week 46 years ago. And that same week, this new evening news programme launched too.
It's PM at 5 PM. This is William Hardcastle
and Derek Cooper
with the programme that sums up the day, and your evening starts here.
PM, which launched on Radio 4 this week in 1970. Don't you just love its theme tunes through the years?
It's PM at 5 PM with Frank Partridge and Valerie Singleton.
Tonight, reports of 100 Soviet tanks heading for Boris Yeltsin's Moscow headquarters.
I always wanted to talk over that theme tune. Me and Valerie Singleton, I can picture it now. So, lots of changes in BBC Radio this week in 1970. Now, the cause was a report called Broadcasting in the 70s, and it meant that all the BBC radio services were given clearer identities in advance of the arrival of commercial radio. And one of those commercial stations arrived this week 42 years ago.
One hours a day of fun here on 261. We are Piccadilly.
Jackson 5,
Gary Glitter,
Four Tops,
Music,
John Jones,
Marvin Gaye.
Hit music for the Northwest.
Piccadilly 261.
Roger Day launching Piccadilly Radio in Manchester. This week in 1974. And back then, the stations, of course, were owned separately, run separately. Things are very different now. And this week, 3 years ago, TFM started carrying the programmes of Metro.
3, 2, 1.
The transmitter has been seized. Starting Monday at 6 AM, a new sound
on TFM.
The amalgamation of TFM and Metro this week in 2013. Those dual AM-FM commercial stations were to split off their AM services, and this week in 89, that happened in Birmingham.
Live on the telephone, Elvis Presley. Elvis, everybody's been talking about you over the last year or two, saying that you were still alive and you've been seen all over the place. What's really been going on, Elvis?
Well, everything has happened to me so fast in the last year and a half, I'm all mixed up, you know. I can't keep up with everything that's happening.
And has the whole thing, all these years of hiding away, Elvis, how has it changed your life?
It's affected my sleep.
Yeah, how much sleep do you get?
Well, I average about 4 or 5 hours a night, I guess.
Is that enough?
Les Ross launching Extra in the West Midlands this week in 89 on the AM transmitters of BRMB and Mercia.
Thought it'd be a good opportunity to get in front of the people.
It later became Capital Gold and then Gold. And I suspect Les would remember this sort of radio, Radio for Schools, which began this week in 1924.
Good morning, children. Will you scatter yourselves over the whole room so that each one of you has plenty of space for movement? Think of the floor as a large white sheet of paper, and yourself as the pencil, drawing shapes as you march.
Happy anniversary to the first schools broadcast this week, 92 years ago. The first subject, by the way, was music. And that piano just smells of small bottles of warm milk, doesn't it? So, with BBC Wiltshire Sound launching 27 years ago...
BBC Wiltshire Sound is now on the air and ready to face the competition head-on.
Terry Wogan moving from Radio 1 to Radio 2 44 years ago...
In gingham gowns and the prettiest of dresses.
The music rights body, PPL, threatening court action to stop Caroline 53 years ago... Paul Merton making his debut on Just a Minute 27 years ago.
And I fell in love with it immediately. It's a very simple game to understand.
And Tony Hall taking up the DG post 3 years ago.
We are ourselves right now at one of those turning points.
Those are this week's radio moments. But let's conclude with an honourable mention for the chap we lost 21 years ago this week.
Here is the weather forecast until midnight. Northern Britain will have sunny periods and snow showers. Snow over many central and southern areas will slowly die away.
Radio Moments.
And that's your luxury-length Radio Today programme for this week. Thanks to everyone involved and to you for listening. It was a TDC production. I'm Trevor Dan. See you next week. Goodbye.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.